Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. Have you ever felt like the world was like kind of telling you to shrink, to, fit into a mold that just wasn't you? Today we're diving deep into what happens when you kind of flip that script and discover the power that comes when you stand out. You know, when you really are just yourself. I mean, Scott McCain really nailed it when he said being the only one unlocks opportunities for growth, innovation, and impact. And that's what we're exploring today, right?
Absolutely. It's all about personal and professional growth and self-discovery and like really, really practical strategies for thriving as that unique individual you are, you know, like no matter the situation.
And our guide for this whole journey is Angela Chee's The Power of the Only. It's you can find a link to that in the description on Amazon.
Nice.
It's more than just inspiration, though. It's a real roadmap. I mean, for anyone who's ever felt like they didn't belong. And Angela really reveals how that feeling of being the only one, it can actually be your greatest strength. The
Wow.
key to like unlocking your own definition of success.
I love that.
The book kind of weaves together her own story with wisdom from all these trailblazers.
I know, and
If you're enjoying this, please, by the way, like and subscribe for more deep dives.
Yeah, and I think what's so valuable about Angela's approach is that she goes beyond just sharing stories. She distills like really concrete principles and actionable steps to help you like find your voice and tap into the power that we all have.
Exactly. So our mission today is to extract those key principles from the book, right? That will help you, the listener, understand and harness the power of being the only one in your own life. We're aiming for those aha moments,
Ooh,
those
girl.
shifts in perspective,
Yeah.
the ones that can really make a difference.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start unpacking the initial spark for this whole idea. Where
Right.
did this come from for Angela?
Yeah. So Angela opens up about her own experience navigating like her early career aspirations as a Chinese girl. And like that often unspoken pressure to not stand out and to follow a more conventional path.
It's a feeling that I think so many people can connect with.
Yeah.
That feeling of pressure, whether it's internal or external, to conform, right?
Totally.
And then she shares this really pivotal moment, kind of a disheartening moment, at a college career talk. And instead of like being encouraged, this reporter shared some really negative experiences about being the only one. And Angela actually recounts how those words really made her question her ambitions for a while.
Wow.
Makes you think about the impact of our words,
It
right?
totally does. It does. And it highlights a core message of the book that begins to emerge here. Those challenges you faced, the very experiences that might make you feel like the only one, they're not weaknesses. They're potential sources of strength.
Love that. And so she delves into five key principles in this book. So these are really designed to kind of cultivate greater self-awareness, give you tools, exercises, and equip you with strategies to really own your unique voice and thrive authentically.
What I love too is the caliber and the diversity of the individuals she includes in the book to kind of like illustrate these principles. We're talking about people who have carved their own path across industries.
Like who?
Think about Deb Liu, the CEO of Ancestry, leading a major tech company. Gail Becker, she founded Collie Power and disrupted a massive pizza market with a healthier alternative.
Cauliflower crust pizza? I mean, come on.
I know, right.
So good.
What else? Who else is in there?
Carla Harris, real force in finance at Morgan Stanley.
Wow.
Danny Garcia, who chairs the Garcia Companies and is the owner of the United Football League.
Really?
Historic achievement as the only woman with majority ownership of a major U.S. sports league.
That's amazing.
And Dave Knoll, creative mind behind Food Network's Chopped,
Oh, yeah.
coming from a background that might not typically lead to culinary stardom.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a powerful collection of stories.
It really is.
So then she brings it back to her own journey.
Landing that reporter position at KCBS Channel 2 News in Los Angeles. This is her initial dream. This is the goal she had almost given up on. But to really grasp the significance of that moment, you need to understand her situation in Bakersfield. Low pay, a contract that limited her opportunities. And yet, she felt this strong pull to pursue the LA opportunity, even with her agent expressing doubts.
You know those nagging feelings, right? About her background holding her back.
It's that internal battle.
Yeah, it's a very universal human experience, I think. That moment of facing limitations, right? Whether they're real or perceived. So let's ask you, the listener, how many times have you been told you can't? It's not possible. There isn't room for you. It's a pretty common thing.
Yeah, and it brings us to a really central theme in the book, this power of shifting your perspective on those very barriers.
Okay.
Angela emphasizes this idea of really cultivating that belief and not waiting, waiting for the opportunities to materialize.
It's about seizing your own opportunities, showing up even when the path seems unclear and filtering out, you know, those limiting narratives.
It's about tuning out those shoulds and shouldn'ts that can really derail us and focusing on what resonates with your own potential. And Angela really drives home this idea that you're not limited to the options presented. Like, create your own space.
Yeah.
Even when others suggest there isn't one.
And what's also really insightful is that encouragement to explore the origins of your personal barriers.
Okay.
Are they rooted in family expectations, cultural norms, you know, societal pressures?
Right.
By understanding the foundation of these beliefs, you can really honor your past,
mm-hmm.
but choose to reframe those challenges as strengths.
So many times the things that we perceive as our weaknesses are actually our greatest strength.
And that ability to navigate those perspectives, right?
Yes.
Bridge the seemingly different world, often a byproduct of those experiences of being the only one. It's a superpower.
I love that.
Right. It's about seeing your background not as a hindrance, but as an asset. Yeah. And Angela uses Vin Jiang's story as a great illustration of this. His parents had very specific expectations for his career. Mm-hmm. Doctor, lawyer, accountant.
Right.
So that was the path that he pursued.
Right.
Even though his true passion was magic.
Oh, wow.
And he was working in a traditional corporate environment, living that expected life. Free time, though, completely devoted to his passion.
Wow.
And then comes this really significant moment where a senior figure at his firm witnesses his magic and essentially presents him with an ultimatum.
Wow. It's like, what?
Fully commit to his passion or he's going to be let go within a few months.
Oh, wow.
So it was a real decision.
Right.
What makes his story so impactful isn't just that he made this really courageous decision to follow his passion. It's what happened next. He actually asked his boss to speak to his parents.
Oh,
yeah. To help them understand his desire for this, for a different kind of fulfillment, especially given their history as refugees.
Right.
And I think that's a powerful act of vulnerability.
Wow.
To really go to your boss and say, well, you talk to my parents.
Right.
And help them understand.
I can't even imagine.
Right.
Yeah.
But it highlights, as Vin came to realize, the importance of being authentic. Being authentic with your loved ones. Of not hiding your true self or desires.
Absolutely.
Right. And his parents, they wanted his happiness, even if it looked different from their initial expectations.
Right.
So the book also delves into the realm of internal barriers, using the example of Jen. She felt her voice sounded too young compared to her male colleagues in broadcasting.
Oh, interesting.
So this brings to light how internal perceptions can impact our confidence and how we present ourselves.
Right.
And the takeaway here, internal barriers, they don't have to dictate your reality.
Right.
They're not inherent flaws.
All right. It's just about recognizing them.
Wow. First step, awareness. Most empowering.
Okay.
And it's so important to understand the multitude of sources that can feed these beliefs, family messages, cultural norms, broader societal expectations,
right.
Your immediate environment,
right.
The media you consume.
Yeah.
It can all reinforce limiting beliefs.
Like it becomes your truth?
And once those invisible barriers are brought to light, you get this sense of agency, power to shift them.
I love that.
Instead of being controlled by them.
So true.
Understanding what you can influence and what you can't.
Right.
Incredibly empowering.
Yeah. What else?
So the book references Assistant Professor Nicole Martin's research on the often narrow portrayals of women in television, as well as the harmful criminalization of young Black boys in the media.
Right. It's so true.
Right. So this underscores the impact media representation has.
Absolutely.
Shaping our perceptions of ourselves and others.
So true.
Nancy Wang Yuen's experience is a great example of this. She didn't encounter any Asian teachers until college.
Wow.
And seeing a Chinese American woman as her sociology professor.
Yeah.
Transformative moment.
It opens your mind to different possibilities.
Open her mind to possibilities she hadn't even considered for herself.
Wow. Representation matters.
Right.
Okay.
Texas Christian University study.
Mm-hmm.
Another piece of evidence. It found that exposing college women to stories of successful women in male-dominated fields, architecture, law, technology, led to improved performance on those math tests.
Wow.
This shows us the power of positive role models.
on aspirations and self-belief. Okay, so true. And then there's the concept of belonging uncertainty.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which comes from the Yale-Stanford study, mm-hmm. where sharing stories of other students' struggles and challenges in college actually boosted confidence and resilience among, you know, black students.
Wow.
So, you know, it's like normalizing that feeling of questioning whether you belong. And it highlights that those feelings of self-doubt are way more widespread than we realize.
Oh, yeah.
Right. We all have those, don't we?
We do.
Yeah.
Dr. Valerie Rain, mm-hmm. her perspective on patriarchy stress disorder offers a very interesting lens for understanding these internal barriers. She explores the idea of inherited trauma responses that can form these invisible inner prisons.
Wow.
Subconsciously holding us back.
So the science of epigenetics. Mm-hmm. So she's saying that the effects of trauma can actually be passed down.
Through generations. Writing research on the descendants of Holocaust survivors.
Right, right.
So it broadens our understanding.
Okay. So we've explored all of these like hidden origins of barriers. How do we actually break through them?
So the book really emphasizes this idea that simply bringing them into conscious awareness can start to diminish their power over you.
There's that.
The University of Arizona study on stereotype threat.
Okay.
Reinforces this. When women in their study were educated about stereotype threat, it empowered them to overcome those internal barriers
right.
and perform to their full potential in math. Knowledge is power.
Absolutely. I love that. So true. Yeah.
And as someone who might often feel like the only one, owning your opportunity begins with acknowledging those external barriers, things outside of your control, the real power,
yeah.
your ability to reframe those challenges as sources of inner strength.
Reframing is so important.
It is. It involves shifting your perspective, honoring the experiences that have shaped you.
Right.
And seeing them as valuable assets.
I love that.
Yeah.
Farnoosh's experience of reframing fear is a great example.
Yeah.
Instead of viewing fear as like a negative emotion to be avoided, she learned to recognize its potential, right?
Totally. As a signal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It can actually guide her and tap into her power. So the book also provides a practical list of ways to reframe common challenges.
Like what?
Like if you move frequently during childhood, that could be reframed as adaptability.
Right.
If you face discrimination.
Yeah.
Empathy, open-mindedness, being an only child.
Yeah.
Maybe it fostered independence.
Absolutely.
Experiencing rejection builds resilience.
Oh.
Financial struggles can lead to resourcefulness, creativity. Even anxiety, while challenging, can lead to self-awareness.
Yeah, and a deeper understanding of your internal landscape.
Yeah, yeah, it's all about finding the positive angle, the strength within the negative experience.
Totally.
Right. So Angela shares a personal moment of apologizing to her parents for the first time.
Really?
Which, coming from a Chinese cultural background, where direct expression might not be the norm.
Right.
This was a big step in honoring her past and breaking through these cultural patterns.
Okay.
And then she recounts this personal development weekend. It served as a real awakening for her.
Yeah.
Making her realize how much she'd been holding on to past hurts.
Oh, wow.
And hiding behind external achievements.
Yeah.
She spent so much energy trying to fit in.
Oh, yeah.
To be normal. And she finally began to appreciate the value of her unique upbringing.
Totally.
I think we can all relate to that a bit.
We can. Okay, what else? So Gail Becker's entrepreneurial journey offers another inspiring example of reframing. She always felt like an outsider, but as she built Collie Power, she redefined that feeling as a competitive advantage.
Okay.
Allowing her to approach things with a fresh perspective, boldness.
Yeah. And then the book introduces this technique. Try the opposite.
Oh, yeah.
So you're facing a negative thought about a challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actively consider the opposite. What if the opposite were true?
Right.
That shift in perspective can unlock new possibilities.
I love that. I love that. It leads to the empowering idea of viewing being the only one, not as a disadvantage or a burden,
right,
but an opportunity.
The book quotes Trevor Noah, "I don't have a place where I belong, and that means I belong everywhere."
Beautiful.
So good.
I love that. And Carla Harris offers this strong, positive perspective, viewing being the only one as an honor and a privilege.
Right.
Emphasizing the opportunity to make a memorable impression.
Yeah.
And leverage that visibility.
Tricia Montalvo-Tim's early career experiences highlight a contrasting initial reaction. She perceived herself as the only one and found herself in victim mode.
Oh, wow.
Even concealing aspects of her identity, like being Latina and a working mother, due to a perceived lack of welcoming environments.
Right.
But Trisha's story is one of growth.
Yeah.
She's committed to inspiring others to embrace their authentic selves. She's an advocate for women.
Right.
Her journey shows that you don't have to remain in that space of feeling like a disadvantage.
Totally. And the book acknowledges the exhaustion and disillusionment that can arise from being the only one.
Right.
Consistently encountering those obstacles. Important to validate those experiences. But it pivots to this powerful concept. When only ones are present, they have a unique capacity to open doors for others.
Yeah.
Shelley Zales's belief in the power of the pack.
Love that.
Resonates here, emphasizing the importance of bringing other underrepresented voices with you as you rise.
Love that. Angela's own motivation for entering news to make an impact, to have a voice, really illustrates this. Her presence and perspective influenced the stories that were covered.
Yeah.
So the core message here is internal validation.
Mm-hmm.
Owning your power means not letting external sources dictate your worth.
Right.
Your value isn't contingent on titles or accolades.
Right.
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 You have an inherent worth, the right to occupy space authentically without needing permission.
And you don't need to change who you are.
So true.
To access that power.
The book touches on the common tendency for those who feel like only ones to try and blend in. Especially when they feel outnumbered.
Yeah.
The reluctance, especially for those from a marginalized background, to draw attention.
Right.
But as Trisha's experience highlights, concealing your true self comes at a cost. Self-acceptance is key. Angela shares her own childhood memories of trying to fit in, trying to hide her glasses, feeling self-conscious about her family's cultural traditions.
Yeah. And this brings us to the importance of self-discovery.
Right.
Louise's story, realizing she'd never taken time to explore her own values and how she wanted to show up in the world.
Yeah.
Underscores this process.
And Angela Chee's own mission.
Yeah.
To empower others to claim their power and their voice.
Yes.
Is the foundation of her work and her company.
That's amazing.
It's about creating that pathway for yourself and others. And the book also reminds us that self-discovery isn't a one-time event.
It's a process.
It's ongoing.
It evolves.
It evolves. We're constantly evolving.
Yeah.
Right? It's crucial to revisit your strengths, values, boundaries as you grow and change. It also addresses the tendency, particularly among high achievers, to overwork, driven by outdated ideas of what success looks like.
Right.
The book challenges us to redefine our worth beyond those external markers, you know, titles, and instead recognize our internal value. Jennifer McCollum's experience of questioning her readiness for a CEO role despite her qualifications.
Oh, wow.
Really shines a light on that inner critic.
Mm-hmm.
We all have it.
We do.
And the encouragement and belief of her peers played a vital role in helping her step into that power.
Mm-hmm.
So the book also talks about the necessity of recognizing and showcasing your strengths and your zone of genius.
Yeah.
As a fundamental way to boost self-worth.
Mm-hmm.
It's about owning what you excel at.
Absolutely.
Allie Brown's experience of always feeling like the only one throughout her career emphasizes trusting your path and protecting your energy.
Right.
You're not defined by those external labels or how others categorize you.
Right.
What else?
And then there's Dave Knoll. He introduces a crucial element, celebration,
okay,
in a field marked by rejection, like television.
Right.
He stresses the importance of acknowledging and celebrating every moment, the milestones and those smaller victories.
Right.
What's really cool is the science behind celebration.
Okay.
Research indicates it's not just a feel-good activity. It can positively rewire your brain.
Really?
Lowering those stress hormones like cortisol, increasing those beneficial neurochemicals, dopamine, serotonin. It activates your brain's reward system.
Oh, that's so cool.
Angela shares a personal story about her 11th birthday dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Being overshadowed by visiting family friends due to these cultural norms around reciprocity,
right,
in Chinese culture.
Yeah.
It's an example of how those cultural values can affect celebration.
Right.
And the book emphasizes the difference between simply achieving something and really internalizing it.
Yes.
Feeling that accomplishment.
Tamala's experience shows that it's important to acknowledge your wins.
Yeah, and the book provides this really practical list of the different types of wins we can celebrate.
Okay, like what?
Ranging from those major milestones to smaller moments of growth, even acts of kindness.
So, you know, celebrate it all.
Right, and then concrete steps you can take to rewire your celebration habits.
Okay.
Take a moment to reflect, savor your wins,
sorry,
share them, reward yourself, celebrate collectively, and use that momentum.
Love it. Candace's breakthrough in understanding how her brother's words had affected her willingness to show up is a great example of how acknowledging those past experiences can unlock future potential. And Melinda Frenchgate's journey of rediscovering her voice after a period where she felt it was diminished, even with her position, right?
Right.
It reminds us that this is universal.
Yeah.
Reclaiming your voice is always possible.
Love it.
Angela Chi shares her journey of learning to let go of perfectionism.
Yeah.
Trust her instincts and recognize that things don't have to be hard to be valuable.
Yeah.
It's okay if they come easily.
It's okay.
What else?
The book touches on Masaru Emoto, his experiments with the effect of words on water crystals, offering a very thought-provoking, though scientifically debated, illustration of the impact of our voice.
And Anne's story of overcoming shyness to share her healing journey shows the transformative power of stepping into your voice. And the book offers a reframe for that feeling of nervousness, suggesting we view it not as fear, but as energy.
Right.
It provides four strategies for breaking through that fear. It discusses the spotlight effect.
Yeah.
The illusion of transparency. To normalize those feelings of being scrutinized when you're speaking up.
Yeah, you think people are looking at you.
Right, right.
Or not.
The technique of distanced self-talk. Using you or your own name is a tool to manage anxiety. Create distance from your immediate thoughts and feelings. And simple techniques like box breathing or even jumping jacks can quickly calm nerves. I love that.
Release that tension before speaking.
Yeah.
Reframing negative self-talk.
Yes. Yeah.
Challenging those limiting labels, understanding where they come from.
Yeah.
Gives you the power to redefine them and choose more empowering narratives.
So true.
Imposter syndrome. It's not a personal failing.
Right.
But a human phenomenon.
Right.
And identifying with it can really reinforce self-doubt. And even briefly touches on the origin of the term.
Yeah.
Mentioning Clance and Imes' study on high-achieving women where they first identified imposter phenomenon.
Okay.
Then code-switching.
Yeah.
Reframing it, not as abandoning your identity.
Right.
But as a skill for building connection and bridging different worlds.
Right.
Frank's perspective offers an illustration of this. While acknowledging the downsides, the exhaustion, the feeling of inauthenticity, the book highlights its potential as a superpower.
Right.
A way to communicate and connect without compromising yourself.
Encouraging a more conscious examination of that label.
Yeah.
Code switching.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the choice of when and how to use that ability rather than feeling like it's mandatory.
And finally, the book tackles the concept of executive presence.
Yeah.
Sharing Elaine's experience of being told she lacked it. Jennifer McCollum's cupcake with a razor blade inside analogy, which perfectly captures those expectations placed on women leaders.
Right.
The key insight is that true executive presence comes from within. And it's important to define what presence means for you.
Yeah, rather than conforming to someone else's standard. This leads to owning your communication. The book quotes Ken Liu's insightful thought. Every act of communication is a miracle of translation.
Yeah.
It's a reminder of the complexity and potential connection in every exchange. Angela shares a memory of her dad making green onion pancakes.
I love those.
As an analogy for the effort that goes into communication.
Okay.
And the book stresses that genuine communication isn't just about speaking.
Right.
It's also about actively listening, understanding your audience,
being
attuned to nonverbal cues.
Right.
Failing to connect with your audience means missing opportunities.
And Angela's own experience of finding it challenging to articulate her own beliefs when she was being interviewed after years of being the interviewer highlights that owning your communication is a skill set
that needs to be developed.
It does. This leads to the YUU Amplified Connection Framework.
Okay.
A guide for clear, confident, and connected communication. It covers understanding your audience.
Great.
Crafting your message, defining your purpose, taking the lead, projecting the right image, understanding the feeling, and bringing your authentic you into the interaction.
Love that.
Yeah.
The framework underscores the bridge-building role that only ones often step into.
Right.
Because of their vantage points.
Yeah.
Their capacity to foster understanding.
Collaboration.
Across environments.
Yeah.
Christina's experience of growing up in a homogenous environment and learning to connect with others is highlighted as a gift. And Jess Pettit's act of kindness toward anti-LGBTQ+ protesters, offering them donuts, is a tangible example of reaching out, building bridges.
Even in charged situations.
Yeah, the book draws a distinction between accommodating others
and
engaging in bridge building. Accommodation might involve suppressing your own views, whereas bridge building is about fostering understanding and creating networks of support. And Jess Pettit's story of finding common ground with Fred Phelps through their shared appreciation for Johnny Cash is a reminder to maintain curiosity.
Yeah.
And remember our humanity, even when we have differences.
It is.
The book suggests that only ones have this potential to act as conduits for a more inclusive future, moving beyond survival to thriving.
Right.
Angela shares an experience of staying at work, drenched, after a rainstorm to prove her toughness. So the book makes a case that owning your future means changing what doesn't serve you.
Yeah.
Forging your path and prioritizing your well-being. Dr. Valerie Raine's experience of a physical breakdown despite success reminds us that outward achievements don't equal thriving. Angela shares her pattern of constant productivity,
yeah,
highlighting the need to break free from unsustainable habits that can lead to burnout. And it points out that only ones may feel pressure to prove their worth.
Absolutely.
Due to stereotypes. Brian's burnout, which led to a health crisis, emphasizes addressing all aspects of life. So owning your future is about making choices about how you want to navigate situation.
Yeah.
And creating a life you envision.
Totally.
Rather than being ruled by expectations. Grace's journey of realizing that she was chasing someone else's definition of success emphasizes the importance of defining what success means for you.
Absolutely.
The book discusses the pressure to achieve, which leads to a feeling of never being enough. And Angela shares experiences of pushing through discomfort and exhaustion.
Oh, wow.
And that show must go on mentality.
Right.
So, you know, she's talking about shifting that to self-compassion and balance to create a new vision for your life.
Yeah.
You know, take the time to identify what's important. Choose your values. Reflect on them.
Yeah. Love it.
Angela shares her journey with the feeling of not being enough.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the knowledge that she is,
mm-hmm.
highlighting how these patterns can be ingrained.
Yeah.
And this practice of allowing herself to rest.
Yeah.
And she says, you don't have to make it hard to be worthy. It's still valuable if it's easy. I am enough. You are enough. You've always been enough.
Beautiful.
It's powerful.
It is. This brings us to guarding and healing your energy.
Yeah.
The Dalai Lama. Do not let the behavior of others destroy your inner peace.
It's so true. Angela shares an experience of being subjected to racist attacks, underscoring the need to protect your energy. So guarding your energy means cultivating awareness of your environment, the information you consume, the people you surround yourself with.
The commitments you make.
And understanding their impact. It's about filtering out negativity.
And choosing the emotions you want to.